This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it is 5:09 in the evening with Lynn and Ayman. And first things first, I have to say I apologize in advance if I sound like I'm infecting you through the radio. It's not my intention. But yeah, just to get that out of the way. And also, our first story today is Popik, as it always is. And we are talking about the continued wealth gap between billionaires and the world's poorest. And also going on to ask, I guess, the question of whether or not billionaires should be allowed to exist. So this is coming after a recent report by Oxfam found that last year, the world's richest 2,000 people controlled more money than the poorest 4.6 billion combined.
So that report is called Time to Care, and it was released ahead of tomorrow's World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. And that is, of course, the forum where political and business leaders gather every year to talk about how to fix the economy, basically.
Yeah.
So in this report that has been released, Oxfam also found that the number of billionaires in the world have doubled in the past decade, and also they are richer than 60% of the global population.
So in news that I think will surprise very few people, the report also pointed out that this concentration of wealth in the hands of the few ends up affecting poor women and girls the most, since they put in 12.5 billion hours of unpaid care work every day. And of course, this unpaid work is estimated to have added at least $10.8 trillion a year in value to the world economy, which is three times more than the tech industry. But I suppose it's not as visible, right? And it's not as recognized.
And it's also ingrained in like sort of traditional norms, right? So this unpaid care work involves things like, I think one of the examples given by the head of Oxfam India, if I'm not mistaken. So he was talking about this lady in India who travels 3 miles a day to get water, to raise her kids, send them to school. And this is, I guess, part of her role as the housewife. The mother who takes care of the kids doesn't get paid for it. It's part of the traditional notion of what a wife is supposed to do. So these hidden sort of like economic contributors don't get paid for it. And what at the same time, these tech masters, these entrepreneurs, they continue to accumulate wealth at the expense of their workers and all that. So there is this gap that continues to exist, and the distribution of wealth is uneven, considering also, there are these hidden figures in the world economy that are overlooked.
There are a couple of interesting points from there, right? Because to that example, what happens if you do decide to try to redistribute wealth more equally? What would it look like to ensure that somebody like that example of a woman raising a child gets the money? Because it's one thing to say taxes. It's one thing to say, oh, no, we just need to redistribute wealth. But ensuring that it goes to the places it needs to go, I think that is an entirely sort of separate conversation. I'm not sure that we have the system in place to account for that. And then the other thing is, when I think about the politicians who I suppose are at this very moment talking about this, the ones that come to mind are, because it's 2020, which means that the US presidential elections are informing everything, just taking over the world. I'm thinking of democratic socialists, right? Mm. For instance, of course, Bernie Sanders. And his whole idea is that billionaires just ethically and, democratically can't exist. There is this notion of whether or not they should fundamentally be allowed to exist. And it's a question that involves a lot of different things, right? Like, because the worry there is that if you don't allow for people to get rich, entrepreneurial spirit will be affected, for example, growth. On the flip side, these numbers don't lie. I mean, it's a shocking amount of people who hold a shocking amount of money.
Yeah, and there have also been arguments, for the existence of billionaires who continue to accumulate wealth. And the argument is based on the idea of freedom and liberalism. So if you want a free democracy, then people should be free to accumulate this wealth based on their own efforts and their own like entrepreneurial skills and all that. But you know that the system is broken when a small handful of people hold a large proportion of the world's wealth. You know, the system is broken when that happens. And, you know, something needs to be done. A lot of people have talked about, you know, taxes, but taxes, of course, requires very effective enforcement. And tax laws change all the time. So it's a continuing conversation I think will go on for quite a while, I would say.
So we asked the public what they thought about this, this idea of billionaires. So first we asked whether or not billionaires should exist. This is what they said.
Yes, I think billionaires should exist because some people have really bright ideas out there, and those ideas have literally changed our world. So for them to be recognized and be given the opportunity to reward themselves for those ideas is, for me, acceptable.
Yes, because after all, they work so hard for themselves, so they deserve to keep what they work for.
I feel like it's fair because you never know these billionaires, how they get to that kind of level, like how they run their businesses, how do they make profit? But at the same time, is it legal kind of money or is it illegal kind of money?
Let the billionaire be the billionaire, because they also contribute to the market, to the economy, to the people in Malaysia that can have an opportunity to work.
So we want to hear from you. What do you think of whether or not billionaires should be allowed to exist, or, you know, is that feeding income inequality in a very real way? Joining us on the line is Dr. Lee Hock An, Senior Fellow at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute. Hock An, always good to have you with us. So I guess, why do you think we're seeing more billionaires now than ever before?
Yeah, so yes, there's increase in billionaires, but the problem, I think, is more specific than that. I mean, if the economy is growing, you know, the number of millionaires, billionaires could be growing as well. But what they're highlighting is the rate of the growth, as well as the wealth concentration. And I think it helps to put in a bit of context that, because this Oxfam annual report is sort of a staple where every year they have a report from a consistent methodology, that in 2016, there were the 62 richest billionaires in the world had a wealth of more than half of the population of the world. In 2019, it was 26 billionaires that had wealth of more than half of the world's population. So it's a question of concentration, not just about increasing numbers, the concentration of their wealth at the very top. And I mean, I think there are many reasons for it. You know, it's a system that is biased towards the rich, with beginning from the issues of super salaries and pay packages of CEOs, and a system as well, you know, that is very accommodating of mobility of capital and allowing for, you know, tax havens and tax evasion and moving in investment where there's low wages and high profits. You have so-called old wealth and issues of inheritance and low taxation there, and so that entrenched power and wealth that just can, you know, continuously accumulate. There's the political angle about the super rich and plutocrats buying political influence for policies that are favorable to them. And then, just to make it very, you know, in a very general sense, sort of new wealth in newer sectors and technology sectors that have experienced rapid growth. Now, there's some innovation involved there, and so, you know, rapid wealth accumulation. But these are also some sectors that have lack of regulation. So there's a whole mix of factors, and I think, you know, there are many elements that also are, you know, controversial. But also it's a very, very current issue.
So this might feel like an extreme question to ask, but do you think billionaires should be allowed to exist?
Yeah, well, I'm going to take it that question, you know, is prompted by some statements that have come out of the U.S. and the political campaigns there. And of course, it's phrased in a way like a political rallying call that has a simple solution and a target, right, to eliminate, you know, one group. I can't really, you know, go with that. I think from a policy standpoint, and it's not because comes across as being very harsh, you're calling for something, a group to not exist. But I think it goes back to my point earlier that there are so many aspects to it, and something so simplistic is just not identifying. the problems in the structural and systemic problems. And why would you even want to stop at billionaires, right? What about millionaires or 100 millionaires? Because we should be specifying what are the problems that we want to address, like right the tax evasion, not paying fair share of taxes, you know, and parking profits around the world, and political influence, right, political funding by the super rich. I think the focus should be on those rather than some, you know, very simplistic statement like eliminate billionaires. It is tapping into, I think, issues that are important and resonant. But again, they're broader than just a simple slogan.
Okay, so I guess a similarly large/extreme question. I mean, what measures do we need then to close this huge wealth inequality that we're seeing around the world?
Yeah, let me focus on some that I think are more pertinent to the Oxfam report, which is putting the picture, the issue in a global context. And I think two are related to the issues that are, the two sort of revolve around the theme of unpaid. So one is about unpaid or underpaid taxes. I think they really emphasize that. There's, a range of issues that are somewhat domestic related to the abilities and a lot of, the affordability, right, to have tax consultants to, engage in lower tax payments, which may not be entirely illegal, but I think the question is whether or not they are ethical. And then there's offshore finance and tax-free havens, and I think that's really very massive, and they're trying to shine the spotlight on that. And then there's another aspect under this theme of unpaid, which is unpaid work. So the Oxfam report is drawing attention to something that I think is increasingly being appreciated for its importance in society. This is referring to a lot of work predominantly by women and mainly in homes, caring for the household, that is not paid. And so it's a part of a problem of widening inequality, that there's so much work that is very foundational and very essential for society to function, for children, families to be healthy. But it's done for free. I think that could translate into, firstly, a recognition of that, and maybe, social transfers that are specifically, addressing this huge segment of society, and recognizing that the work that's being done, that has to be also obviously funded. So then I think, one broadly speaking way to engage in the redistribution is from the rich towards something that is hard to dispute, right, that it's wholesome and it's productive and beneficial, which is to, provide for women, to channel the funds towards women in homes.
So we have frameworks like the Sustainable Development Goals, right? But how often do countries adopt sort of radical policies that are needed to address wealth and income gaps?
I think wealth and income are quite different. So, income is more formalized in economies and sort of public administration. That's the one that income sources, right, are subjected to taxes and the redistribution is more established in many countries of the world, that is to tax sources of income. Income taxes, and then there's also sales taxes, there's capital gains taxes in some countries. And so, of course, that can be reformed and improved and enhanced. Wealth is harder because, it's a stock and it's a bit harder to keep track, right? Unlike, salaries where there's a flow and there's certain clear accounting. And wealth is, valuation is also a challenge. So, I think there's also certainly more effort that can be done because there's a lot of sources there. And if a principle is about, taxation based on or income, right? If we're drawing a line between income based on work and income that is, you know, based not on work but strictly on ownership, I think furthermore, you know, that reinforces the case to increase the kind of redistribution of wealth, because a lot of wealth is not based on work; it's inherited or it's just something that is continually accumulating, supported by a system that continually accumulates. And all the more, a lot of that accumulation of wealth is due to a lot of public provision of infrastructure, public provision of basic education. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of scope, both for income and also in wealth, although it's more challenging for wealth inequality.
So aside from policies, is there anything that can be done to ensure that wealth is more equally distributed?
I think there are entrenched attitudes as well and norms, you know, and assumptions and behavior. And those are difficult to change. It's not so simple and straightforward as well, because sometimes it's men and women that can be perpetrating, you know, certain views, right, that contribute to gender inequality. But I think policies or countries can evolve, I think, through increasing participation. Not necessarily something that can be very clearly defined before and pursued, but I think it's very encouraging around the world that women are the majority of university graduates. And university graduates also tend to remain in the workforce longer and, of course, work in higher skilled positions. So I think the visibility of women and then, you know, showing their capabilities and just rising up in the professional ranks, I'm sure it has an effect in shaping mindsets and challenging assumptions and shifting towards, you know, more acceptance of gender equality.
Hock An, thank you so much for those insights. You just heard from Lee Hock An, Senior Fellow at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute. We're talking today about billionaires, and we're doing so because, I mean, we all know that they have a significant amount of the world's wealth.
Yep.
But a recent report by Oxfam, Time to Care, basically found that the world's richest 2,000 people control more money than the poorest 4.6 billion. So the ratio is just nuts. And we're just kind of talking our way around that, asking the question of whether or not billionaires should exist, whether there are ways to redistribute this wealth. You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Some messages have already come in and we will be getting to them after the 5:30 news, which is coming your way. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.